I'm Jamie. I'm a compulsive overeater and sugar addict. I just want to say thank you, Janet, for asking me. It's an honor. I want to go ahead and show you the pictures. If Claire will show you the pictures of what I was like. Even though I still have a long ways to go, you can really tell a difference. Between when I started a year ago and then my journey through the first, my first 5 months, the journey of what I look like now. So, Claire, can you show those pictures? Excuse the messy house. Okay, the next one. And then what I look like now. Okay, thank you. So, let me start it off with what it was like. Well, first off, my parents, I remember from from a little girl of being addicted to food. My parents, my dad would pay obscene amounts of money for a good dinner, but wouldn't give us money to buy jeans that, for the ones that had holes in them and stuff like that, things that we actually needed. He would, for big dinners to go to restaurants or to cook at home, he would spend obscene amounts of money on food, more than the things that we needed. My mom would be she was we can't say they were food addicts, but I have a suspicion she was. She would eat a lot of sugar. Cokes were a favorite even right before she passed. Sure, ate sugar all the time. I see a lot of things that I did of what my mom did when I was a child. Then I remember my parents were away a lot, and I stayed at babysitters, and I would steal from one of my babysitters snack cakes. When she wasn't looking, so I could eat several at a time because I never got enough of that sugar. I also stole from my parents money from a collectible coin collection and just stole out of mom's purse and stuff like that because I wanted to go across the street to the grocery store because they gave us checkbooks to write and all that. We were really on our own a lot. And go get ice cream. The thing I remember about going to the store to get ice cream was that, I always got a double dip. I never knew what a single serving was. I mean, I'm learning that now. By weighing and measuring what one serving is. And so I started off stealing to get food that, sugary food. I had a lot of trauma in my life. I was bullied, started probably in third grade, where I was severely bullied because I was overweight. I never saw myself as overweight, but I was taught by my classmates that if I didn't have a flat stomach like the popular kids, then I was fat and ugly. And going into middle school, I got threatened to be fought all the time. People bullied me. They threatened to fight me because I was overweight and I wouldn't stand up to them. I hated confrontation. I started trying to commit suicide or had that suicidal ideation in sixth grade when I was 11 years old, all the way up, through school, during middle school years. I also am a self-harmer, and during one of my seventh grade classes, I made marks on my arms of clawing myself because the pain was so much. I remember telling a popular kid trying to get the attention, but to try to get people to like me, was that I was so, and this is not true, but this is what I came up with, the lie I told, that I was so underweight as a baby, as an infant, my mom fed me and overfed me to let me gain weight and to be at a healthy body weight. And then she just kept overfeeding me. And so that's why I'm overweight now, was overweight in middle school, was because they overfed me because they were worried that I was so underweight. Stupid lie. But that's what I told. And it was just really bad years all the way up through high school. Bullied, bullied, bullied. And I turned to food. I didn't feel liked by my classmates. I didn't feel loved by my parents because they never had time for me. I was always staying at a babysitter's or staying somewhere. They never played with me. I felt completely, utterly alone. And so I didn't feel loved, so I turned to food. I started once I was date raped, so then I started turning to men, and then I found alcohol. The obsession of alcohol and food started probably when I was age at least 5 or younger. The alcohol started in about 7 when my dad let me drink beer. The obsession of the mind. Now, I won't get into alcohol and pills because singleness of purpose, but I am the type of addict that I change addictions. Anything that will change the way I feel or like myself, I will do. And so that's what it was like when I got older and when I was more into my, other addictions. I started waking up and eating a lot of, in the middle of the night, sugary cereals. And then my ex-husband would be like, "What are you doing?" And I was like, "I'm eating," like it was no big deal, like it was the thing to do. And he ended up cheating on me, and we got divorced. One funny story that I remember, because I was a night eater and I would sleepwalk, was when I was staying with my parents after the divorce. I apparently got up and made hot dogs, and I fully had them full with the cheese, the relish, all of them, fully made. And apparently I was at the table, and all of a sudden I was asleep. My head down like this over the hot dogs. My dad said, "Jamie." And I was like, "What?" And he was like, "What are you doing?" And I looked up, eating hot dogs, and I was totally asleep. And so those are things I would do. Eat in bed. When I moved to where I'm at now, I would just buy sugary items. I would hide them. Bags and bags, eat them in bed, hide them in the closet so I didn't have to share with my mother, who, if she knew about them. And when I moved to Georgia, I decided to go on a diet and lost 100 pounds. But by 5 or 6 months, I was gaining again. I have always been on a diet until now. This is the first time in my life that I have not felt like I'm on a diet. It's just a way of life. This is what I do. This is what my life is, and it's happy, joyous, and free because I am not on a diet and trying to restrict myself. Oh man, this is going by quick. I'm gonna finish before time. Another thing, is I want to get into the recovery part. I know that that's what it was like. What happened? Let me tell you how I got into OA. 4 years ago in 2018, I hit a bottom. I was cutting again. I was suicidal ideation. I was binging food galore. I would buy all I wanted to eat regular food. I was buying snack cakes, candy bars, ice cream, and I would eat them. I would get frustrated and upset with myself. I'd throw the stuff away, then dig it out the trash and eat it. And so I've
Ten
and
minutes.
I'm sorry.
10 minutes.
Okay, thank you. And then so I was cutting, so I went into a psych hospital, where they helped me with my food addiction and where they helped me get regulated on medications. And that's when I first started going to OA. During that time in OA, I was in OA for about a year, a little over a year. I did the 301, but I never cut out sugar. Never. I thought that as long as I did the 301, kept to the food plan, I didn't. I remember my sponsor saying, "Well, we need to cut out sugar," and I was like, "You mean I can't have cake for my birthday? That was the best thing I lived for." So I just couldn't do that. So I stayed on 301, but I did not get rid of my alcoholic food. So I ate again, stopped going to meetings. Then life went on. I went dry in AA and lived a miserable, miserable life for the last 3 years. Back in February, a friend said something about going somewhere, and I was like, that sounds good. So I order Instacart and just pile up a bunch of sweets and stuff to order, and they bring it to me, and I eat it within 2 days. But the next day, my sister says, "We are not friends. We are just siblings. Don't contact me unless it has to do with my mother. Don't or financial things, because they kind of help me a little bit. But other than that, we aren't friends." And it totally blew me away. I was so upset. I hit my bottom. I was like, what am I gonna do? You know? And I had a my I don't know if it's a spiritual waking or spiritual experience, but I remember sitting in my chair in my den, and God spoke to me. I still feel his presence when I think about it. He said, get back in AA, because I wasn't going to AA meetings, and go back to OA and work the program, create your own family, create your own support system. And that's what I did. And if that experience, or if God hadn't told me that, then I wouldn't have come back. I wouldn't have got back in AA. And when my mom passed, I probably would have gone back to drinking. Another thing on that day that I forgot to mention is on the that morning before any of this with my sister happened, I saw something on Facebook, and I didn't really believe it. So I posted it anyway, and it says, God sometimes puts you alone so it will bring you back to him. And exactly by the end of that day, that is exactly what happened to me. Those words totally came true to me. Because by the end of that day, I was back, and I hadn't been able to talk to God, think about God, or anything like that for the past 3 years since I left OA. And so I was back with my higher power, which I choose to believe is God. So now what is it like now? I'm happy, joyous, and free. I know I only have 5 months of abstinence, but I have no desire to go back to the way I was living. I am either, and I was told this by a sponsor, that I am either doing two things each day. I am either going towards recovery. What am I doing for my recovery that day? Or I am doing something to go towards relapse. Each day, what am I doing? Going towards recovery or going towards relapse? Every decision, everything I do.
5 minutes.
Okay, I have 2 minutes. Okay. And the other thing I was told was I have two jobs, to love God and to love others. So by working the program, going to meetings, and I don't know about y'all if y'all remember this. I am not a morning person at all. I could sleep till noon every single day of the week. But I love this meeting so much, and recovery means so much to me because I don't want to go towards relapse. I want to go towards recovery. So I wake up at 4 in the morning, 4:30 in the morning to come to this meeting because it's the best meeting I have found. And I am learning to love others, not to judge, not to think anything, but to love others and to love God. I pray in the morning that thank you for keeping me abstinent and sober and clean today. I pray at night, thank you for keeping me sober, clean, and abstinent today. I read 86, 87, and 88 morning and night. And I do lots of service, tons and tons of service. You know, do I want to? Not necessarily, but I want to stay abstinent. I want this program and I want the recovery I have seen in y'all. So, service, service, service. And that's what I think attributes a lot in my relationship with my higher power that really contributes to where I'm at and how I am staying. This has to do with it, sober and abstinent. Because it's kind of together, you know, it's two separate programs, but it's together for me. And I know I'm a minute early, but thank you for asking me to speak, Janet. I hope y'all got something out of it. I felt like I was all over the place, but thank you.